Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You might be able to hear the ridiculously heavy rain and occasional thunder strike in the back here. This is what happens when trade agreements are getting signed. It's like the nothing out of the never-ending story descending upon the country and all of its evil blackness and tentacly chemtrailed brilliance. It's fabulous. I love this country. And it's also Fukushima irradiated, so everybody snapped up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy. My very special guest is Christina Tobin from freeandequal.org. Now, if you're not familiar with freeandequal.org, some of the people, particularly the listeners from this show, may have remembered a while back when there was a thing called a U.S. election. I think that's the technical term. and there was, in not 200 years, has more than two parties ever been up on the podium together to have a debate? am I the only one who sees something fundamentally fracked up about that? Well, for the first time ever, and I say that operatively, Christina Tobin of freeandequal.org managed to hook up Larry King himself and a number of other parties to have the very first third-party presidential debate. And, oh, my God, what a great debate it was. Instead of the usual, "You're a liar! I hate you! Stop lying to me and destroying the country!" that I normally have when I'm listening to the general presidential debates, it's more like, "Yes! Fucking yes! End the drug war and do all of that good stuff!" I loved it, man. It was inspiring, because you'd seen something that you've always wanted to see but never thought you would. Christina Tobin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me. You're quite a funny guy.
And then, girl. Now, would you be able to explain a little bit about how did... Wait, hold on a second. Let's back up a second here. The election's over, and I want to know, after this is gone, what is it that you're doing now at freeandequal.org?
I'm working full-time for Free and Equal Elections for the rest of my life, so I think while many think it's a time to take a break, really, 2013 is a year when I feel that Americans are going to get more engaged in the electoral process than ever. So we're here to open not only a studio starting in Los Angeles, a network, likely a reality show. We've got some really big national projects and a huge event out in Arkansas next May, uniting leaders across the political spectrum, left, right, and not influenced by private interest money, just good people. There are far more good people in the world than there are not, and coming together to reform the electoral system throughout the United States and to make the world a better place. And this is one of many, many projects that we have going on for the foreseeable future.
Now, I was going to ask a very long question, but instead I'll ask something that probably has a very short question, which is the direct opposite. What's not wrong about the U.S. elections? Is there anything that's actually just not that bad and works, or is it all just defunct?
I'm at a loss for words, so I think that says a lot. So
yeah, let's do the answer to the long question then. What is wrong with the U.S. electoral system?
Yeah, I found it fascinating. You know, in speaking to so much international press, it seemed like almost all of them, they had no idea that there were more than two parties in the United States. And in fact, there were 27 people who ran for president this last election in the United States that were on the ballot in at least one state. So, you know, the big problem we have is the two-party system. Like you said, they've been playing us for centuries now, and they go back and forth. I've seen from inside the circles that they work together. They're friends. They're allies. It's really bad. And so, really, in America here, we have a one-party system that's controlled by private interest money, the elite at the very top who control the Federal Reserve, who prints our money here in the United States, which is a independent private institution. It's not federal. It's misleading. And that money and all that evil goes down, or negativity, that is, trickles down to the corporations who control the Democrats and Republicans alike. And look where we are here today in America. We have the drug war. We have the Patriot Act. We have drones, SOPA, NDAA, war. These are things that Americans don't want, and we don't have the right representation in office. And here at Free and Equal, we're here to break through that stranglehold, and we will through 2013 and so on.
Hopefully people won't continue to elect misrepresentatives and start getting people who actually does represent their interests. And I was wondering, what access does the American public actually have to the people that they would vote for president? Versus what access do the major corporations essentially, what would you call them? Donors, bribers, Midas, everything they touch turns to Shiite Muslim type people in their massive corporate offices with their prostitutes and cocaine. I mean, how much more access do they have than the average person?
I mean, I would say that very much a lot more. The corporations are the strings. You know, if you can just imagine Pinocchio and the strings of Democrat, Republican alike, there you go. That's exactly. And, and you know, each string represents a corporation. It just, you know, they essentially control these candidates. They're puppets for the corporations, again, that are tied into the banks, the Federal Reserve System. And the elite, the warmongers at the very top, from Rockefeller to Rothschild to Morgan. It's that simple. United Nations, big problem there. And so the way we're going to break that is by creating a place where, and inspiring the youth and everybody to run for office for the local races in 2014. The local races are far more important than the presidential race. Of course, the media would lead you to believe otherwise. As we know, the money in media is just as impure as the money in politics here in America. And in doing that, we're not only going to list every single candidate on a national database that we'll be launching in 2013. Every single candidate, imagine clicking on a county and seeing, oh, there's 12 people running. Many are going to be probably more independents than affiliated with the party. And we're going to provide the resources to help those independents run, how to overcome ballot access barriers. I can elaborate on more about what that is, getting involved and being a part of opening the debates, being a part of an open debate, to getting rid of voter fraud, to implementing instant runoff voting, proportional representation. And we're going to bring together all of the ideas, the experts, the authors, the musicians, Hollywood, you know, everyone across the spectrum to, again, to reform the system and make not only the United States a better place, but when we achieve that, we're going to inspire the world to be the same way. What a great year it's going to be.
Well, it should be. And I've got this conclusion that 2012 has been a big, big year for all of us, and 2013 is going to be even more so, significantly, because I think people are actually getting encouraged, you know, against all the odds, Christina, against all the scumbaggery, all the financial manipulation, all the media kerfuffle. The people who know what is truly happening and wish to change it are not only growing in number, but they're also activating themselves and actually doing something about it, because it's all very well to know that there's something wrong. But what's better is to do something about it.
Yes, and the youth. Don't underestimate the youth. Probably not only in America, worldwide, but you know, here in America, 18 to 28-year-olds in the polls, they're going to come out in full force. They're not a force to be reckoned with for the 2014 local races. There's no jobs. They're going to run for office. And the power of social networking and technology is just so amazing. And I do see the left and the right, leaders that are not controlled by private interest money, finding that they have almost everything in common, lots of things in common. Again, like we all want to get rid of NDAA, SOPA, Patriot Act, the war on drugs. And I see them coming together and communicating, and I see the government, yes, being cut back, some say up to 80%, maybe 40%, 60%, whatever the people want. I see the power shifting back to the state level, and I see our government shifting back to the origins of the Constitution, what our forefathers would have wanted. parties don't work. The Constitution doesn't mention parties, nor corporations for that matter. And, you know, with the power of social networking and technology, we can and we will shift back to the origins of the Constitution. And that's what Free and Equal Elections is about. Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution. All elections shall be free and equal.
Well, define free and define equal.
Free, I would say, for the people to have the freedom to smoke marijuana if they would like, and to have the freedom to, you know, to express their opinions and not suddenly be confiscated, taken out of their home. That's what our government's up to. To petitioning for candidates or for initiatives and having no problems with the police saying you're not on, you know, private. Just all freedom, freedom of will, and equal. I do see all of us as equals. This is, the government's intention has been to divide us, whether it's families and races. And, you know, when you look at the prisons in America and you see that wrongfully, I think 70-80%, I'm not an expert on this topic, but we will bring together experts to speak about it on our future conferences and panel discussions. But, you know, when a majority of the people are held in bars, held behind bars because of, you know, marijuana, you know, it's just... And typically, they tend to be primarily African-American. You know, the divisiveness, and really, we are people. We are one, unity, coming together. And that's been one of several reasons why the two-party system has thrived throughout America. Number one, because of ballot access barriers created back in 1890. You may have heard of the Australia ballot. Well, it derived from that. And ballot access, what it means in the U.S. is that... In order for a party to get on the ballot, they have to get X amount of signatures. Of course, the D's and R's make the rules really easy for themselves, and they make it virtually impossible for third parties and independents to get on the ballot throughout the United States. So, you know, between that and many other factors, they've stacked the elections in their favor, and they work together, and we're here to shine a light on the electoral process. The cockroaches are going to scatter, and I see independents taking back the election and making the world free and equal.
Well, I would act under the assumption that if you see everything as enslaved and unequal, that you simply do the direct opposite, hence free and equal, right? Yes. If that's the case, there's an end game. Is what sort of structure? Because the Constitution gives general rules and what have you. And I haven't actually read it, but in terms of actually having free and equal elections, what kind of structure would there be? I mean, let's imagine for a moment that we are having election 2016. Okay, and it is a free and equal election. Currently, you go to a very long line, go to a Dyncorp voting machine, and they flip it for whoever they want. They get super PACs and what have you, and they give near on $1 billion to both candidates, and both candidates are financed by the big business and war interests. And then there's about maybe 18 to 20% of the population who are stupid enough to vote for either of them, and about half of them vote for one of the guys, and so that becomes the majority. About 10% of the U.S. population votes for the one guy that allegedly controls the rest of the 100% of the U.S. population, and that's called a free and equal election, and that's what we're doing right now, right? How would it be different, specifically?
Well, the number one thing a lot of people have been speaking about, amending the Constitution, you know, my role as a leader is to create the dialogue, to create the platform, and to create the movement, and to create more leaders as a leader, not more followers. And in doing that, I'm personally not an expert yet on the Constitution, but I'm connected with many people who are experts throughout the United States, like Michael Badnarik, a great ally and friend of mine of ConstitutionPreservation.com. He's traveled across the country years teaching about the origins of the Constitution and our forefathers. But first and foremost, I would say, once again, the Patriot Act, unconstitutional. SOFA, unconstitutional. NDAA. All these different things that, again, the two-party system, the money in politics, has created. And so the origins of the Constitution, you know, bringing the power back to the state level is obviously another important component. And, you know, I don't know how to go into greater detail than that. But I, again, some say, experts have told me that if we were going to ship back to the Order of the Constitution, government would have to be cut back up to 80% in the United States. And so, you know, that's a very
high amount. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that about 80% of the current U.S. administration is unconstitutional. Doesn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, you know, and government for me is okay if it was maybe 20% as large as where it is today, and there was integrity, transparency, you know, and people that actually were elected weren't running because of money, you know, the money in campaigns and hiding behind a label and being controlled. And honestly, I see a lot of leaders within both parties even breaking away from their own parties because they see the elites are taking away all control from that as well. So pretty amazing. Mm.
I would like to see like a top 10 debate or something of that nature where you had 8 alternative candidates and the 2 main ones all taking 1-minute questions and each at a time back and forth, and you probably only get a few little bit of policy pieces out, but you'd actually understand how much variation there is in control of America.